10 to 1 at the end of a prayer, we do need to have our minds and thoughts in one accord so that what's expressed we can say amen to. And I certainly felt I could say amen this morning when prayer was being offered, and we thank the Lord for that. I'd like to call your attention for a little while this morning to a passage in the New Testament in the book of James, in the 5th chapter of the book of James. And I'd like to read to, in your hearing towards the end of the chapter, really the end of the book, beginning about verse 13, and we'll read down to verse 20, which is the last verse in the book of James. So James chapter 5 and verse 13, and we'll read through verse 20, the Lord willing. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." We are thankful to know that the Lord has given us His Word, and we have it to look to guide us and to lead us and to teach us here in this world. We also know we're dependent upon the Lord when we look to His Word for the Spirit to guide us and give us the meaning of the things that we read in the Bible. I certainly ask you to pray for me as we look at this passage together, that the Lord help us rightly divide the word of truth, because without His help, without Him guiding us, we can't do that. But when we look to the Lord, we get a great benefit from studying and reading His Word. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and it's that which truly furnishes us unto all good works. And he said in verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted?" And I was thinking about this verse as we were mentioning all the different ones this morning. It seems like our list grows longer and longer. I wrote a list out that's laying up here somewhere. And each week as I look at that list is there. But then we could add names to the top of it, and we could add names to the bottom of it. And we do find that God's little children, as they live in this world, especially God's little children, all men do, but especially God's little children, are a poor and afflicted people. Actually, they're an afflicted and poor people, but they are a people that need the blessings of Almighty God. It's a good news for us today to know there's a place to go when you're afflicted, and to understand a little bit of why we have to have afflictions and temptations and troubles in this world. Those things, rather than being a curse to God's people, they actually are a blessing to the Lord's people, though sometimes it's hard for us to understand how an affliction or a temptation or a trial could possibly be a blessing. Sometimes when everything's going well in our lives, and I mean for the most part well, never is it everything always going well, but sometimes when things seem to be going really well, we tend to forget where all our blessings are. Come from. We tend to not think about how good the Lord is and how much we need Him. And we'll forget to pray. We'll forget to thank Him. We'll forget to call upon Him. We'll forget that we need Him every single day. We kind of get through thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, got through Monday, things are going good. Tuesday, everything's going real good. And Wednesday, and you know, just everything's really fine. We get real happy about life and begin to love the things of the world a little too much. And God's little children need to remember that every day, every hour, and every moment, we need the Lord. The hymn writer said, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain." And we as God's children need to be reminded to look to the Lord and stay close and draw near to the Lord. Brother Charles in his prayer said, let us pray that the Lord, we would draw near to Him and long to be with Him and long for His presence. And every day, the most important thing in our lives is not that we have enough money to pay the bills, though that's a good thing, or not that we have enough food to eat, and for those of us who like to eat, that's a very important thing, or not that we have clothes to wear, or our homes are okay, or everything's running that way. The most important thing that we need as God's little children in this world is fellowship with the Lord. We need to be aware of His presence, for He is with us every day. Right where you are, right where you're sitting, the Lord is present with you. Bear name. That's true all the time. But I would say in our own minds and thoughts, we often forget that, don't we? We often forget that the Lord is at hand. And there is nothing that will really awaken you to that quite as convincingly as when you face tribulation and afflictions. Because those tribulations and those afflictions that come your way, though we would rather avoid them, cause us to begin to look more to the Lord. We are awakened to our need of Him. I'm not saying to you that the Lord is the author of every good thing, every bad thing that happens in your life. I do know this, He's the author of all good things. He's the one who gives good gifts to His children. But some of those good gifts come in the form of chastisement and tribulation and things to awaken us. When we go to sleep, God doesn't let us stay asleep. You know, a good parent who's with a child and the child is at sleep, or a good child who's with the parent and the dad or the mom's asleep and they need to wake up. Well, a good child will awaken the parent and a good parent will awaken the child and say, wake up, pay attention. And I said to you today, this morning, the most important thing you and I can hear are the things found in this book, and we need to be awake to them. We need to be aware of them. Though sometimes we feel like they're not very important, what you hear at the house of God and the church of the living God is the most important messages and the most important news that you and I can have. And when our hearts are hungry, and many times our hearts are hungry because we face trouble and afflictions all week. Afflictions will wake you up to your need of the Lord. The afflictions and troubles will cause you to see, I need Him. I need His presence. I need Him to be with me. And the answer to a little brother or to a little sister who is afflicted, is any among you afflicted, isn't say be depressed, isn't say to be discouraged. It says let him, and I believe it also applies to the hers, let him, let her pray. Let us pray to the God of heaven. And we mention prayer a lot. And why do we pray? We know we don't pray to let God know about it because God already knows about everything. We don't pray in order to tell God what to do because God knows exactly what to do. He works His will among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there is none that can say His hand or say, what doest thou? We know God's in control. We know God's aware of our situation. But it is important for us to pray in order to acknowledge that. And for us to feel the peace and the rest and the joy of knowing my life is not out of control. My life is in the hand, as a little child of God, my life is in the hand of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of Elijah. And Elijah, from Elijah and the account of Elijah, and that Elijah is the Old Testament name, the New Testament name is Elias. And Elias and Elijah, when you read them in the Bible, Elias in the New Testament, Elijah in the Old Testament, is the same prophet. And sometimes we feel like if I could just be like Elijah, then I'd be okay. And what James is saying to you is Elijah is just like you, and you are just like Elijah. And we'll think about that and say, oh, I don't know that that's the case. But James says it is. And what we must understand about that is not that we want to be just like Elijah, but we would want to be like Elijah when Elijah was trusting in the Lord. Because when Elijah trusted in the Lord, God kept him. God watched over him, took care of him, supplied what he needed. And when Elijah forgot the Lord woke him up. The Lord brought him to a place where he was made to know that I'm God that thou needs me, and though you think you're all alone and the only one still faithful, I've reserved unto myself 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we're not alone in this whole world, but that you have others of God's children. And Elijah wasn't alone, though he felt alone. You ever feel like you're all alone? You ever feel like I'm the only one who feels like me? I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one who has to face this problem. I'm the only one who's had to face this affliction. And you feel so down about it, and you come and say, what am I going to do? He says, is any among you afflicted? I got an answer from the Word of God. If you're afflicted this morning, you pray. You pray. You say, well, you don't know what kind of affliction I have. No, I don't. But the one you're praying to does. He knows about your affliction. He knows about your problem. He knows about it before you ever started to have it. He knows what you need. He even knows what you're to pray for. Sometimes we don't even have a clue what to pray for. And we don't know how to pray as we ought. Romans tells us that. But the Spirit of the Lord leads us. Though we don't know how to pray for what we as we ought to, the Spirit of the Lord that's been shed abroad in our hearts, the Holy Comforter that is with us, will lead us and guide us in our prayers. And when we pray according to His will and in His name, we will have what we ask for. Now, when we pray for stuff that's not pleasing to the Lord, then it's not according to His will, and it's truly not in His name, and He will withhold from us those things that we think we need, but that we really do not need. It's a wonderful thing to know that God's little children can pray and look to the Lord when you're in trouble. And I encourage you to do that. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. He said, is any married? I hope some people are married this morning. If you're not married when you come in, I hope you'll be married when you go out. I hope preaching makes you feel better. Sometimes I've come to church and I've been so down and depressed, and the Lord's lifted me up so much I forgot what was wrong with me, and I felt so much better about things. Sometimes, and nothing was changed about the outward environment or the outward circumstances. What got changed was my mindset and my thinking about it, where I saw things in the light that I have a God, the God of Israel, who is my God, and I can look to Him, and whatever I'm facing and whatever I'm going through, He already knows it, and I can turn it over to Him, take it to the cross, take it to the Lord, leave it there, and find great joy and peace. And therefore, is any merry? I hope you're merry. And if you're merry, you ought to be singing. It says, are you happy? Well, if you're happy, you ought to make a joyful noise. We tried to talk about that last Sunday night and spent a long time talking about the 100th Psalm, which we talked about a whole lot, and we'll talk a little bit more about. Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let us come before His presence with singing. Let us come into His courts with gladness and praise. And today, our message ought to be a merry message to a merry people. And a part of that message is you make a merry noise, you make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And how do we do that? Let us sing psalms. Let us sing the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let us sing the 100th Psalm, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let us sing the psalms that honor and praise and glorify the Lord. The Apostle Paul over in the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 5 he said, in verse 19, he said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That means I ought to be singing to myself, and I ought to be singing to those with me, and I ought to be singing to the world around me. They ought to know and think that I'm happy. They ought to be able to see that. And I think sometimes what this world sees when they look at me and they see everything else but happy. And they might say, well, boy, if that's what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want any parts of that. That poor, depressed, pitiful creature. Now, there is a sense in what God's little children are to be afflicted, because they are poor and afflicted people. And we ought to recognize that in ourselves, we can do no good thing. So there's no place for boasting. There's no place for pride. There's no place for us to say, boy, I'm something else. And the old ego of man will really get you there real quick, won't he? He'll lift you up thinking, boy, I can handle this. I'm not talking about just being happy and proud and you can handle it. Some people are serving the Lord in such a way, or they feel they're serving the Lord in such a way, they can be proud of how good they're doing at serving the Lord. That's not the way we ought to be. We ought to be mindful that without Him I can't do anything. Without Him I can't repent. Without Him I can't believe. Without Him I can't follow Him. Without Him I'm going to fall by the wayside. Without Him I'm like that old man in the ditch, left on the side of the road half dead. I need the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come. And when He comes, He has exactly what I need. But listen, once He's come, He's given me everything that I need to go on. And what I want to say to you this morning is that this church and every member in it and all of God's people have in the Lord Jesus Christ everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. It's already been given to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him we live and we move and we have our being. And I want to recognize that more and more every day. And I want to sing that. If I'm afflicted, I want to pray. And that doesn't mean you just pray when you're afflicted. It means you pray when you're married too. Because really, the Psalms are filled with the prayers, aren't they? They're prayers of praise. They're also statements in the Psalms that when you're afflicted, you can pray. Because those Psalms are good for the afflicted. So the prayers are good for the married. And really, the afflicted, when they pray, get happy. Blessed is the man that knoweth the joyful sound. Happy is the man that knoweth the joyful sound. They shall walk in the light of thy countenance. That means they'll find the peace and the rest and the joy that they stand in need of. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Now, it comes through the vocal cords, but it begins in the heart. And if it doesn't come through from the heart, doesn't matter much what comes out of the vocal cords. We're to make melody unto the Lord, and it's our praise unto the Lord. And when we pray to Him, we're speaking to the Lord. When we sing about Him, we're speaking unto the Lord. And He says, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. And what are we doing? Giving thanks always for all things. Now, that says a whole lot too, doesn't it? That means for the troubles and the tribulations and the problems that we go, you know there's a blessing in those. Because tribulation worketh patience, doesn't it? And patience works experience. It means when you wait on the Lord and trust in Him, you get the experience that I've trusted in Him. And have you thought? Can you think right now in your life about times that you were brought to the place that you were made through tribulations just to simply wait on the Lord? You had no choice but to be patient because there was no out. And so you wait on the Lord. And when you wait on the Lord, what does He do every time? He always comes through. Doesn't always come through necessarily the way we want Him to, but He always comes through the best way and the right way. And you, not in the outer man, the outer man will deny this, but the inner man knows that to be true, doesn't he? In the inner man, we're settled. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because He, Thou art with me, and His rod and His staff, they comfort me. The afflictions and the trials and the troubles that we go through, we can find comfort because tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience. And experience, that means we learn by experience that it's the right thing to do to trust in the Lord. And if you're going through trouble, just find someone else who's been through some trouble and talk to them a while, and it can be a big help to you. Because they've been there. And they've experienced that the Lord comes through. And just hang in there, wait on Him, lean on Him, trust in Him. Look to His Word. The evidence is throughout His Word that trusting in the Lord is a worthwhile endeavor. And that to call on Him is important. And when do we stop calling? Well, we don't. We just keep on asking. You say, well, I've asked and I didn't get it. Well, keep on asking, because if it is His will, He will grant it in His time. And if it's not His will, well, He will help you see and understand that, and you can be reconciled to His will. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. And how do we do that? We do it in the name, and this is Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a privilege it is to pray today. I want us to understand today that if it had not been for Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, none of us would ever be heard in heaven. No prayer would get above the top of your head. If it hadn't been for the work of grace in your heart, you would have never had the desire to pray. If it hadn't been the Holy Spirit giving you that unction and the words, you wouldn't have the words to pray or the heart to pray. And it's the Lord who blesses you on the inside for you to work out that which He's put in. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for God, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so if we're able to pray today because we're afflicted, it's by the grace of God. And if you're able today to sing a psalm because you're merry, I hope you're merry. I hope you're happy in the Lord. Then make a joyful noise. Let Him sing psalms. And then He says, is any sick among you? We had a whole line of them today. When we get sick, there is an answer in God's Word for what we're to do. He says, let him call for the elders of the church. And that's an important practical thing for us to remember. When you have needs, you talk to the minister. Talk to God's ministers. Talk to those of your brothers and sisters in the church. In some sense, this could be the preaching brethren. In other sense, it could be the older members of the church. Those who have been seasoned over the years and have gone through time and trouble and tribulations and problems. And if there's someone sick, I believe it's specifically talking about the ministry here. He says, if let him call for the elders of the church. That means it's a good thing for us to say, you come. Sometimes folks get sick and they never let the preacher know that they're even ill. The preacher has to find it out. It didn't say let the preacher go hunt them down and figure it out and get there. It says let them call. And the reason that we call is not because the minister has some special power in himself, but there is a gift that the Lord has given to the ministry of comfort and edification that God's little children need when they're troubled. Sometimes I'll get a little text that says, please pray for me, and I'm thankful. That's in a sense following what this text says. We're praying. And said, well, you know, you can pray yourself. Absolutely. I could pray myself too. But when I'm feeling bad and down, I want others to be prayerful as well. So don't hold those things in. Somebody might think our time that we spend naming all these names at the beginning of a meeting is a waste of time. I certainly do not. I believe it's important to call to the attention of God's people the needs of the Lord's people so that they might fulfill what the Bible says in praying for one another. And here he says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And it says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I certainly believe this is talking today, especially in a spiritual sense, that when we pray for one another, it's like the anointing of the oil of God's grace in our lives. It lifts us up. It blesses us. We feel that the oil of joy and the oil of the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing for God's little children to look to the Lord and when we stand in need, and as we do every day, and we pray and look to the Lord and feel that He has heard our prayers. He says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And some have believed that means every time you pray and you pray believing that exactly what you're going to pray for is going to always be the end result of that. Well, that's a misunderstanding of what this lesson is teaching. It is true that when we pray according to His will and according to the leadership of the Spirit, and ask in the name of the Lord, and it is pleasing to the Lord, everything that we ask in accord to His will be answered. There is not one, if you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, it shall be opened unto you. If you seek, you shall find. But there are sometimes, according to James, that we ask amiss. If you look over in chapter 4 of the book of James, it says this. It says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. He also says, yet ye have not because you ask not. Listen, there are sometimes we miss things because we don't ask the Lord, so it's important to ask Him. But it's also important that we ask in accord to His will. That's why when we pray, it's always good for us to say, nevertheless, Lord, like the Lord taught us, not our will, but Thy will be done, that we might trust in Him. And He says, they shall be forgiven him. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I don't believe this is talking about sins in general. I believe that there are times certain things come upon us because God's waking us up. Because we have been in error. And we have walked in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord. The world doesn't like to think about this, but some of the things that fall upon people fall as a judgment in time, even upon God's people, and He chastens us because of things that we have done incorrectly. That doesn't mean everything that happens to you, but it does mean from time to time God does chasten us. And have you ever been in a place and you know exactly why you're there? Have you ever had something happen to you and you know, boy, I know why this is happening. I know why this is going on. And you don't have to call a preacher up and say, do you think this is happening because of that? It's like one brother said, when you have to call the preacher, you already pretty much know the answer when you ask him the question about that. There are circumstances that happen to you as a result of things that you've done wrong. But isn't it wonderful to know that we can come and confess our faults and confess our sins? And He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all transgressions. This isn't how God's little children get to heaven, but it is how you find sweet fellowship with the Lord as you're living here in this world. We get to heaven through the effectual shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and that work at Calvary washed away every sin that we'd ever committed, those that we are not even mindful of as we live here in this world. Some people said if you don't confess every single sin and ask for forgiveness and get forgiveness for that, you will miss out on heaven because you'll be held accountable for that sin. Listen, there are sins you and I commit that we don't even know we've committed. And I believe with all my heart that those sins, every one of them, even my secret sins, if I belong to the Lord, and I trust and hope and pray that I do, before the foundation of the world, the Lord knew me, He knew my need, and He sent His only begotten Son to die for me. And at Calvary, every single sin was placed upon His darling Son. And there at Calvary, Jesus paid the price for the sins of His people, and all of them, their salvation was secured in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone say, well then why is it we need to repent? Well, we need to repent because that's what we ought to do. And when we're made aware of that, there's a great cleansing effect that happens in time in the court of our conscience when we ask God to forgive us of our sins and He applies His pardoning grace to us and we feel that forgiveness in our lives. And in a sense, we have a multitude of sins that are hidden. They're hidden not from the Lord in the sense He doesn't know about them, but they're hidden in the sense they're covered in the blood of Jesus and they no longer stain and trouble our conscience. Does your conscience ever bother you? Oh, there are many times that I spend nights not sleeping well because of things I've done during the day, things I've said, things I've thought, things I've acted upon in my life, and I have trouble in my heart. The old flesh wars against my soul, and there's a warfare and a conflict that's going on, and I'm not at peace with myself. And what do we do when we're like that? Well, we have to take it to the cross, and we have to take it to Jesus, and we have to say, Lord, forgive me, help me do better, but forgive me of where I've already messed up, and hide that from me, dear Lord, so that it's not troubling my heart and my soul. You become afflicted with the weight of that sin. And He says, let Him pray. And when the Lord answers that, then you become merry. And then when you get merry, sing the psalms. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He says, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, He says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. That means you and I. That doesn't mean we're to come in every day and dump everything we've done all upon everybody. But when I sin against you, when I do things that hurt my wife, I ought to go to my wife and say I'm sorry. She'll say amen to that. And when she does things that hurt me, she should come to me and say she's sorry. I don't know. I hope she'll say amen to that too. But what I'm saying is, in the church, that's important. It's important for us not to allow things to get in between us. Because when they do, the next thing you know, the old devil has a place to play and a place to attack. And we have ought against it. Builds up. It builds up, and we carry that. We carry that around all the time, and it robs us of our joy and our rest and our peace. And it's so much better to be able to come and say, "Brother, I've offended you." And a lot of times, I've gone to brethren and feel like I've offended them, and they said to me, "Well, I don't even know what you did or why you did it, but I know this: I feel better when I said I'm sorry. I feel better." And sometimes they do know exactly what I've done, and they tell me, well, I appreciate that. And there's a bond that comes back, and a relationship is restored. Sometimes we say, well, I'm just not going to let that bother me, but it does eat, and we carry that weight, and it builds up. And then things get worse rather than better. And what we need to do, as the Scripture says, we're to confess. And notice this, it didn't say confess their faults to them. It says confess your faults. Sometimes we like to go to them and tell them everything they did wrong. And sometimes we feel in the flesh that way. But I'll tell you, that doesn't make you feel better. What makes you feel better is when you go and say, brother, confess, be honest before the Lord. And we confess our faults one to another. It's to remember also how we're to forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us. And that wonderful lesson that he told us about the talents, the 10,000, one that was 10,000 talents in debt, and the one owed him one pence, and he was guilty of so much himself and had been forgiven, and the one who held, he had taken one pence when he owed him that, and he went and grabbed him by the throat and said, I'm gonna get you, hold this against you until all of it's paid. Oh, I'll tell you, my friends, when we think about dear ones, when we think about what the Lord has forgiven us of, we ought to be more than willing to forgive one another. And it's such a joy when we can. Just lay those things aside and you find sweet peace. I believe a church that has that within its borders, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they're loving one another as the Lord's loved them, and they're forgiving one another as the Lord's forgiven them. They can go through a lot of rocky roads and troubles and disagreements and all kinds of things, and yet the Lord will give them peace that really passes the understanding of this world. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Oh, I found that to be a great relief. If you have aught against someone, try praying for them. They'll help you. The Bible teaches that, to pray for pray not only for your friends, but pray for your enemies. To love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you. And when you find yourself praying for them, you'll find a peace in your life that you didn't have before. Is it difficult in the flesh? It's really difficult. It's hard. But I'll tell you, as we do that and follow in the teachings, this is primarily talking among the brethren and at the church. But in your lives, as you pray for one another, you'll find a great benefit in that. And he says that you may be healed. And then he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means the prayer that's offered in faith and belief unto God, it's effectual, and the prayer that's continually, daily, hourly, moment by moment, being offered unto the Lord, and of a righteous man is a man that is believing in the Lord. The righteousness we have is not the goodness that we have by our nature. That righteousness is but as filthy rags. But when we trust in the Lord, we're clothed with the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we pray and look to the Lord and lean upon Him and trust and believe in Him, the imputed righteousness of Christ is upon us. And that's the prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of a believer, trusting in the Lord. And that prayer availeth much. And then he gets to Elijah. And I was thinking about talking about Elijah, but I've talked a whole lot about everything but Elijah. But I want you to read over in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 17, the account of Elijah. And I think about Elijah. Elijah lived in a time where there was the kings of Israel, and that was a mess. That bunch of kings, they were a mess. You read about them and it seemed like there would be an evil king, and then the next one that came would be more evil than that one, and the next one came would be more evil than that one, and they would do all kinds of things to one another and against the Lord and provoke the Lord to anger and to jealousy. And those kings were evil. And Ahab was a king that outdid them all. in that sense. The Bible says that Ahab was a king, that the kings that came followed each other, they were evil, and then Ahab comes along and he's more evil than any of them. Did more to provoke the Lord than all the rest, and was the most evil of the bunch. And he married a woman that didn't make him any better. You know, sometimes a woman can help a man, but this woman didn't help him at all. This woman by the name of Jezebel, brought him more into the idol. He was already in idolatry, but it brought him more into idolatry and took him away from the things of God. So we had Ahab and Jezebel, who were the king, and his wife Jezebel, leaders there in Israel. And we have Elijah, the prophet Elijah, who is convicted by that. And over in 1 Kings 17, he prays. And he prays a peculiar prayer. I believe he prays a prayer that the Lord gave him in his heart, because the Lord answered that prayer. I believe he prayed in the power of the Lord. And he prayed with the ability the Lord gave him. And he prayed what the Lord gave him to pray. And he prayed that the Lord would withhold the rain until he said, and prayed again that the rain would come. And just think about that kind of power that one man might have. You ever feel like you're in a place where you don't have any power or any control over the things that are going around you? We look at our nation and it seems to be growing more evil and more corrupt day in and day out. And even when those that stand up and try to do good, try to do it, it seems like they're confronted with so many obstacles. And so what is it that we as God's children ought to be doing in the day and age in which we're living? We should be on our knees before the Lord in prayer and praying to the Lord. Because remember this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes our response is, yeah, but that's the prayers of Elijah. I'm not Elijah. How in the world can I have an impact like Elijah? Remember what James says. Elias was a man subject to like passions, even as we. Which means Elijah was nothing in and of himself. Without the Lord, Elijah would have no strength, no ability, no wisdom. And we see that in Elijah at times when he gets outside of the grace of God, in the sense he's not thinking about the things of God. We see him running in one place from Jezebel like a little scared rabbit and hiding out. We see him being so depressed he wants his life to be taken from him. We see him being discouraged. We see the same things in Elijah that we see in us. But in 1 Kings 17, you see Elijah praying to the Lord, and he prays that it might not rain, and the rain does not fall in the land of Israel for 3 years and 6 months. And I'll tell you, if you want to see an impact on a place, you let the rain stop falling. You know, many men think the rain comes because the weather is just right, or, you know, something's right in the climate. I'm telling you, the Lord is the one who sends the rain. He's the one who holds the rain. And here in the Bible, we have proof of that. And Elijah said, as sure as the Lord liveth, he said, as sure as the Lord liveth. See, Elijah was sure about something, that the God of Israel liveth. I hope we're just as sure as that today. Do you believe God of Israel liveth? You believe there's a God in heaven who's in control? Do you believe he sends the rain? Do you believe he is the God of Israel? Do you believe he's the God of Israel? Which means he's the God of his chosen people. And we are his chosen people. We are the spiritual Israel of God, as old children of God. He's our God. And as sure as he liveth, the God of Israel liveth. And he stood before him and prayed and looked to the Lord. And he said, Lord, withhold the rain. And it didn't rain. And Ahab, no doubt, was upset with Elijah. And if he could, he would have taken his life. So the Lord took care of that before it ever happened. And he said, you go hence, go east, Elijah, and you go by the brook Kerith. And there at Kerith, he says, you stay right there by the brook. And there's Elijah by the brook. Probably about a year he stayed at the brook. And I'll tell you, that's a wonderful thing to think about. Here Elijah has prayed that it stopped raining. And it hadn't rained, so every day it didn't rain, and he's by the brook. And if it doesn't rain, what happens to a brook? Every day you come and look at that brook, right? This is how Elijah's being taken care of. Every day you look at the brook, and you say it didn't rain yesterday, so do you think the brook's up a little bit or down a little bit? Well, of course, it's down. And then it doesn't rain the next day, and it's down. And the reason it hadn't rained is because Elijah's prayed, and he's prayed for a reason. God's given him that reason. And God sent him to the brook, so he's okay. And when you get there, first get there at the brook, and the Lord sent you, you feel real good about it because here's a brook. Oh, I'm taken care of. And in the morning when I'm hungry, the ravens come. Ravens. He didn't use doves to feed him. He didn't use some bird that you and I would have picked, some humble little meat bird. He took a raven. I've seen ravens fight on the side of the road over a piece of dead meat laying out in the road. I've seen ravens go at one another and attack one another and attack other birds. I've seen ravens. They don't seem like very friendly birds to me. I don't know that I'd want to have a raven around. It seemed like that thing might attack. It's a bird of prey. It eats dead stuff. It'll kill things. That's a raven. But God was in command of the raven. Isn't it wonderful to know that the God of Israel is also the God of the ravens? He commanded the raven. He's also the God of the weather. We don't have a God as Baal was set up with so many gods of this and gods of that. We don't have many gods. We have one God, and He's the God of heaven, and He's the God of earth. He's a God who sends the rain. He's the God who takes care of His children. And there, as that little brother was prayed, God withhold the rain. He sent him there by the brook, and there every day as it did not rain. And Elijah knows that my word, the Lord told me at my word, that's how he prayed, at my word the rain can come. He's sitting there looking at the brook, and every day it's getting less and less. When you first get there, the brook looks good. I wonder how it was about a year in when you see that brook getting drier and drier. And every day have to wait for those ravens to bring you. They brought him bread and they brought him meat. He had it in the morning and he had it in the evening. Didn't say he changed up the diet, Brother Jimmy. You know, sometimes we're trying to do this Weight Watchers things and I get a little tired of what I can eat and what I can't eat. And I need to change. I'm looking for this to change up. Didn't say Elijah got to change. Yeah, I don't know whether he got different bread or different. Doesn't say that, but he got bread and meat. I'll tell you what, the Lord, is He not providing for us every single day? Brother, I hope you see this. Every single day He's providing you your bread and your meat. Every morning and every evening. He's taking care of us naturally. He's taking care of us spiritually. He's taking care of us every way. And as we by faith look to Him, we have the promise that He will supply that. Now He did for a time choose to provide that by the brook. And then Elijah was content to live where the Lord would have him to live when it was the Lord's will for him to be there. And the Lord took care of him right there. And when the brook dried up, I imagine Elijah said, now what's next? You know, where am I going now? This brook, the brook has dried up. And I don't know whether he sat there and thought, how's it going to last? Have you ever thought about it? We're going to have enough for tomorrow? We're going to have enough for the next day? Are the ravens coming back? They came last night, but are they coming in the morning? You imagine he sat there every day waiting. Are the ravens coming? Are the ravens? And the ravens would come. But you know, tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience, experience. So he had some experience, didn't he? And experience has what? Hope. I ask you, has the Lord not proven to you already in your life as you look at it, His handprint upon your life? Every day, has He not provided the meat? Has He not provided the water? Has He not taken care of that? And when He closed out with the brook, well, he had a little widow woman that he wanted to bless, and she wasn't a Jewish woman, she was a Gentile woman, and she was over there specifically picked out to be there for Elijah. And boy, she was just loaded with stuff, and you know better than that. That little sister had such a limited amount of goods to help that prophet. As a matter of fact, she, when Elijah came on the scene, she was out. She had a little bit of oil and a little bit of oil in the cruise and a little bit of meal. She had those things to make one cake, and she was out gathering two sticks, and she was going to make it for her and her son. And her hope was, I'm going to make this last meal and eat it and die. And that's the one that the Lord saw fit to send Elijah to help him. Listen, God, does God move in mysterious ways? My life shows it. Over and over. And the life of Brother Elijah shows it over and over. And though we're not like Elijah, Elijah's not like us either. Only in this, we all are lost. Without the Lord, we don't have a thing. But I want you to know with Him, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We don't have time to continue on with a lot of things that I might be able to say. But I hope what I've said has been of some benefit. It says, it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Read over a little bit, a couple chapters over there in 1 Kings, when you'll see where Elijah prayed up there on Mount Carmel. Remember, Elijah prayed and King Ahab, the fire from it had come down and lapped up the altar and the sacrifice, and the Lord had proven Himself to be God. And Elijah then is praying, and he says to King Ahab, you better get off this mountain. He said, I'm praying that the Lord would send rain. And he bowed himself down on the earth and he prayed. He prayed not one time, not two times. He prayed 7 times. He continued to pray. And he sent his servant out and he said, do you see any signs? And the servant said, I see a cloud. Oh, it was a huge cloud. No, it was a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Brother Elijah said, you better get off his mouth. He said, because the rain is about to come. Sometimes we can see the littlest things and just know the Lord's in them. And by the grace of God, just say, well, you better get off this mountain. Don't you think he was afflicted and then he got happy and merry? He was praying and then he got happy and he made a joyful noise to the Lord. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Thank you, God.
I love you. I hope that was all right. Lord, the praise is any good.